Did anybody see the boxing fight last night with Margarito and Sugar Shane Mosley? Does anybody watch boxing? Did anybody see the fight? Okay, it was a boxing match last night in LA. The guy was from Mexico. He's Mexican. He don't speak English, but he's from Mexican guy. Against Sugar Shane Mosley, black guy. And the Mexican guy was a favorite, 4-1. Make a long story short, he got knocked out. And right before they fight, they discovered that he was putting something in his gloves to make his gloves hard. Illegal. And he was like number one in the world, and he just beat up a bad dude from Puerto Rico like a few months ago. El Codo, right? He just beat him up. But now it's like, oh, he had the stuff in his hands. He got knocked out. Well, anyway, the reason I bring it up, it really had nothing to do with the sermon, but when I fell on the floor, it kind of reminded me of this. Because he got knocked down, and he stood up, and he was like this. And the ref, and the whole crowd was for him, 21,000 people, the biggest crowd they ever had in Staples Center, history of any event ever, to see that guy. They booed the other guy. The guy from Mexico, he was cheered, and the guy from L.A., he got booed. So he's on the ropes like this, and the ref counted to 10. He's like, "You're okay?" He's like, "Oh, I'm okay." I didn't hear him, but that's what it sounded like. He looked like he said it. And the ref backed up and said, "Walk to me. Like, if you're okay, let me see you walk." And the guy went. And then the bell rang, and he was saved by the bell. But that dude was jacked up. Then he came out and got knocked out. But anyway, it really had nothing of relevance. It was a pretty good fight. Amen. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you so much for the Bible. Thank you so much for our opportunity tonight to be together once again. And we pray that you would speak to us. And I pray that you would set us free, re-educate our mind and our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of y'all have a dollar in your pocket? A dollar, a $1 bill. How many of you do not have a $1 bill in your pocket? Now, is that because you are flat broke, or all you have is fives and tens? You gave all your money at the... Very good. You gave all your money away. But anyway, if you had a dollar, if you took $1 and you doubled it to $2, you got 100% return. 100% return means you double, okay? For all y'all who are challenged in math. So if you have a dollar and you get 100%, you get $2. If you take those $2 and you get 100%, you get $4. $4 times 2 is what? 2 times 8? 2 times 16? 2 times 32? 2 times 64? If you do that 10 times, you have $1,024. If you just double 10 times, it goes to $1,024. If you have $100 and you do the same thing, you will have $102,400. Okay, now, whenever you think about discipling one person, this is really a little tangent, but if you disciple one person for a year, and then you two disciple one person, and all y'all disciple, in 10 years, you would disciple 1,024 people. 10 years is nothing. 10 years is going to go by like that. Okay? Now, go back to your dollar. Someone who spends money will view that dollar as a candy bar, or a Coke, or a Big Gulp, whatever you get for a dollar. I don't know how much a Big Gulp costs. Okay? So someone who spends money, that dollar can buy something. Someone who invests money, that dollar is really $1,024. But to God, it's even more than that. God views your treasure and the potential of your treasure based on his view from heaven. This is week 3 in a series called Potential. Potential means future capacity. And what we've been doing is studying the future capacity of our time, our talent, and our treasure based on God's view from heaven, not man's view from earth. And so today we're going to look at your treasure. How does God view your treasure from heaven? And what does heaven say about your treasure? And how does that affect how you should manage it or use it or invest it? Okay. So if you look in your notes, number one, we have to look at the definition of a treasure. The Greek word for treasure is thesaurus. When you get a thesaurus with all the words in it, that word actually means treasure. And it means something with exchangeable value. Everyone say exchangeable value. If you have something that you can exchange for something else, it is a treasure. It's valuable. You have something that you can't exchange for something, it may be a treasure to you, but to nobody else. So something that is a treasure is something that has exchangeable value. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's valuable. How many of y'all would love to just be godly and trust whatever God has for you and not worry about anything else? Okay? You want that. So you say you want that. The reason I say so you say, because I know you say you want it, but you're not really ready to give up what you got to give up to get it. But let me tell you, when you get it, you have something very valuable, very precious. Okay? And you would give up a whole lot of drama to get that. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:22, write down Proverbs 18:22. Now I'm going to change this verse in a minute, and you'll know why, but it's going to be okay. It says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. But what it really means is that he who finds a good wife finds a good thing. Not just any old wife. Fellas, you do not want any old wife. Can I get amen from the fellas? Yeah, there's a lot of bass right there. That's right. So I like that. Ladies, you do not want just any guy. Can I, hey? That's right. Give me two snaps in a circle, okay? You don't want just any old man, and you don't want just any old husband. You want a good wife and a good husband. And by the way, when you find a good wife and a good husband, you hold on and you never let them go. No matter what, you don't give up anything. No matter what, hoochified, whatever comes your way, you do not let her go. Because a good wife is hard to find. Amen? Amen. So that a good wife and a good husband is very valuable. Very valuable. Okay? Mark chapter 8, verse 34 to 37. It says, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Your soul is incredibly valuable. It is who you are. It is eternal. And you don't want to sell your soul for anything. What the devil does is spends trillions of dollars trying to steal your soul. Everything he puts on TV, radio, and the stores, he's trying to take your soul. But you don't realize it because he's very slick and doesn't tell you that, but he's trying to take your soul because he knows how valuable your soul is. Okay, so the definition of treasure is something that has exchangeable value, something you can get something for. It is very important for you to understand how much of a treasure you are and how much of a treasure everything God has given you is. Very valuable to God, very important to God. So valuable, he died to purchase the opportunity to have a relationship with you as a treasure. You are very valuable to him, very important to him. Now, sometimes when you clean out your garage or something, you may find a box of old playing cards, baseball cards, you might find a box of old comic books, and the first question to come to your mind is, what can I get for it? Does it have exchangeable value? And you call up people trying to get some money because you want money, and then they say, those are no good, and you throw them away because the whole determination whether they were valuable was whether you can get something for them. Okay, so a treasure is something that has exchangeable value. Now, wealth is having an abundance of things that have exchangeable value. That means you got a whole bunch of stuff that you can exchange stuff for, whether it be money, whether it be jewelry, whether it be whatever. And by the way, you can be wealthy with personality. Some of y'all have incredible personality, and some of y'all don't. No, for real. Some people aren't flamboyant. They're just quiet, or they're dry. That's not bad. It's not bad. It's just how you are. Some people have incredible sense of humor, and some people don't. Some people are real good at math, some people aren't. Some people are good at reading, some people aren't. I met a young lady the other day. She graduated from San Diego State, I think, in 2 years. She did 24 credits a year, and she got A's in every class. She's waiting to go to law school, and while she waits to go to law school, she's taking 24 units at a junior college just for fun. That's incredible. And she's getting all A's, 24 units. I don't think I took 24 units in 5 years of college. So God has given her this incredible ability to do school. Does anybody in here have that like that? No. Wow. Doesn't mean you're dumb. It just means you're not at her level. All of us combined, okay? But that's okay. So my point is this, is that God has given all of y'all something very valuable. In addition to your soul, some talent very valuable, okay? Now, You have to understand what that is. So a wealth is having a bunch of stuff you're going to exchange. Stewardship is your responsibility to manage and your ability to manage all the valuable things you have. So God has given you intelligence in all these different ways. He's given you cash. He's given you jewelry. He's given you opportunities. How do you manage that? And to what end do you manage it? In other words, is it all just to make you happy? Or is it to build the kingdom of God? Is it to honor God and by which you will be happy anyway? What do you do with it? Or is it all just to make other people happy? But it really has nothing to do with God. There's all different ways you can do it. So stewardship is the ability to manage that stuff. Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked at time, God's perspective on time and what we do with our time. Last week, we looked at our talents, that God has given us talents to overcome the devil in our life and in the life of other people. That's why you have your spiritual gifts. It's a unique way the Holy Spirit expresses himself through you. Today, we're going to look at treasure. Treasure, the things you have that have exchangeable value. Money is one of those things, but there's other material things you have we're going to talk about in a few minutes that are also your treasures that you can bless God with and honor God with. Now, three things about your earthly riches in your notes as well. Revelation 18, verse 17 and 19 tells us your earthly riches will one day become worthless. Everyone say worthless. You don't have to turn there. We're not going to read it, but it's in your notes. You can read it later. One day, as a matter of fact, in a very short period of time, like in Revelation, it says in 1 hour, all the riches of the world will become nothing. Now, aren't we kind of seeing that happen now? And it's not an hour, but God has given us a little warm-up, a little warning. Do I believe that God is cause of the global meltdown? I have no idea, but it wouldn't surprise me. Why? Because the earth is quickly going away from him. So God's saying, listen, I'm going to shake y'all up. Now, I'm not saying he's doing this, but it is ironic how the whole planet just went broke. Just like that. Where did it all go? It was all phantom. It was all phantom. My house tripled in price in the 10 years I've been in it. Tripled. It's the same house. Just tripled. Now it's only doubled. I don't know what it is, really. I really don't. I'm just guessing. But all of a sudden, God said, all your wealth, whoop. And if anything you learn from it, because a lot of y'all don't have a lot of money, not because you're not competent, you're just young, and thank God it really hasn't affected you that much. But for all y'all who have lost wealth, I think what you realize is that you're okay. You're still alive. You still can be happy and smile and laugh, and you're okay. That money or that whatever that was really wasn't who you were anyway, but you thought it was. Okay, so if you learn that, that's a great lesson. But the point is that the Bible says that there's going to come a day and the end that all the wealth in the world becomes zero. So at some point, all the money, period, the dollar, the yen, all that's going to become the pound is going to be worthless. It's going to be garbage. Number two, it says that riches cannot protect you from God's judgment. It's going to come a day when the rich, the poor, the black, the brown, and everybody else in between is going to hide from God, but he's going to find you. You're going to hide in rocks from his judgment. And number three, earthly riches cannot protect you from the devil. One day, everybody will be forced to take the mark of the beast. Hopefully, the church will be raptured out of here, but to take the mark of the beast, and you won't be able to buy or sell or trade without the mark of the beast. And the technology to do that is already established and here. The technology, they can do it today. It's not globalized yet, but for someone to put a chip in your body today and track your finances, we can do that. So it's already set up and being set up. And by the way, the global crisis will turn into a global solution. We're going right to it, okay? And there's going to be a world leader who's going to shock the world and be the Antichrist. So we're already being set up for it, okay? So your riches have very limited ability to save you on earth, but they do have eternal impact implications in your life, based on what we learn about in heaven. So the million-dollar question is, how does heaven's view of your treasure affect how you use it? And if you look in your notes, number one, the stewardship of your earthly treasure will do four things. One, it will identify your eternal master. It will prove to the world who your God is. How you spend your money will be an indication of who your God is. Your checkbook is a theological document. How you spend your money, it's a theological document. Look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. It says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. saying with a voice, worthy is the Lamb. Everyone say worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, which is Jesus, to receive power. Say power. Say riches. Say wisdom. Say strength. Say honor. Say glory and blessing. Say riches. All the riches in the world, God, the Lamb who was slain, is the only one worthy of all of that. It all belongs to him. Everything you have belongs to God. You don't even belong to yourself. This is not yours. You can't control it. You come 100%. You've never seen what's under your skin. You've never seen your heart, your lungs, your kidney. You don't know what they look like. You don't understand how they function completely. You've never seen your throat, your brain. It's all God's. He is the one who brought you into the world, and he knows the day you die. Your relationships are not yours. Your money is not yours. Your possessions are not yours. It all belongs to God. It's all. He is the only one worthy of all the riches in the world. Everything valuable belongs to him, and he has lent it to us for a time. And he's going to watch how you what you do with it. And how you do with it is going to affect your experience in heaven. We're going to see in a few minutes. But everything you have is not yours. Now, some of you are saying, what's he talking about? This stuff is mine. I work for it. It's in my bank account. What's God going to do? Okay, I understand that. I understand that it's very natural to think that. But I'm going to give you a little exercise that you can do when you get home. Please do not do this in this building. Don't do this before you get to the car because we don't want anything to bounce off you and come hit this building somewhere, other people walking around. Don't do this when people are around you because we don't want anyone to get hurt but you. We don't want you to get hurt, but you may get, there may be collateral damage. So just do it by yourself. What you want to do when you go home, if you have any doubt that what you have is not yours but God's, you want to get on your knees. You don't have to, but get on your knees if you really want to have the full effect. Get on your knees and say, Lord, the preacher said that all my stuff is yours. I don't believe him. I believe all my stuff is mine. I work for it. It's in my account. I can do with it what I want. And you have no right to tell me what to do with it. And you can't take it. It's all mine. Now, before you do that, please move away from the building. Step away from the premises. Make sure no one's near you because you don't want them to get caught up in your drama. Now, what you want to do if you do this, I don't believe many of you would do this because I know in the back of your mind you're probably saying, I think it might be true. But if you do it, let me just give you a little thing you should say at the end of your prayer just to give you a little safety net. Say, Lord, this stuff is mine. You can't take it. Whatever you want to say, put all the attitude you want in it. It's up to you. But then you want to say, you might want to think about saying, dear God, just in case you're getting ready to get me right now, can you just get me a little bit so I can repent before you get me all the way? You just might want to do that. Now, the reason that you won't do that, because if it is true, you will be in a heap of trouble. And I think all of us know there is a God and that he is in control and he can take everything you have if he wants to. And the only reason he hasn't is because he is trusting you with it. He's watching you with it. And it is an indication of, do you acknowledge that it's his? Because if it's his, you use it for him. You use it the way he wants. How many of you in here are not a parent? Okay. One more time. Let's do that one more time. I just need to look around the room for a minute. How many of you are parents? Just a few of us in here. We're outnumbered. Okay, for all you who are not parents, what that means, let me ask this question. How many of you are not parents and you are still living at home? Okay, a lot less of y'all. Well, some of y'all are like. I don't want her to see that I'm still living at home. I told her I have my own spot downtown. It's like, all y'all who are living at home or you're living at someone else's apartment, raise your hand real high. I just want to see. Okay, very good. For all y'all who have done that, for all you have, that couch, it's not yours. TV, not yours. The house, the food, it's not yours. Even if your name is on the bottle, it still ain't yours. I hug and kiss my wife all the time. I'm just like that. Tell I love her every day. It's what I do. My kids will say, awkward. And they'll tell me to get a room. So I have to remind them that I have a house. Y'all get out. The reason I'm going down this train of thought is because just as a parent says, this is mine, and you need to respect my stuff and appreciate you using my stuff, and when you get your stuff, you could use it your way, everything that we have, parents, and everything you have all belongs to God. So we have to use it His way. Now, you may not agree with that, but that's what He says. Look at number two in your notes. Number two. How you steward your earthly treasure will reveal the intent of your heart. The intent of your heart. Turn to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6 says, I heard, as it were, a great voice, a great multitude, a sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Everyone say omnipotent. Omnipotent. Say omnipotent. Omni is all, potent is strong. God is all powerful. Omniscient is omniscience. He's all knowing. Omnipresent, He's everywhere. He's everywhere at the same time. Think about it. Right now, God is with all y'all. When all y'all go your 3,416 ways, God is going to be with all of you at the same time. He's going to be with you, and He's going to be where you're going, waiting for you at the same time. And He's going to be with me. That's a bad brother right there. Someone say amen. Amen. So that's God. He's omnipotent, He's omniscient, He's omnipotent. And by the way, the devil is not omnipresent. He's not all-knowing. Thank you. He's only an angel. He's limited. God is unlimited. He can do anything He wants, however He wants. Okay, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give glory for the marriage. Say marriage. Yes. The marriage of the Lamb has come. By the way, remember Adam and Eve got married, a man and woman. Man and woman got married in the Bible, Genesis chapter 2. When God started in Genesis, He's going to complete in Revelation. He started a marriage in Genesis, and He's going to have a marriage in Revelation. We're reading it, the marriage of the Lamb. Jesus, the Lamb, and the bride, the church. Marriage between a man and a woman. God ordained it at the beginning. He's going to fulfill it in the end, no matter what we do in the middle. So look what it says in verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb is Jesus, has come, and His wife. Say wife. His wife has made herself ready. Herself. Say herself. And to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen. Everyone say fine linen. Fine. Say fine. Fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen was the righteous acts of the saints. Say righteous acts of the saints. The saints are Christians. If you're a Christian, you walk with God, you're a saint as far as the Bible's concerned. We don't have to deem you a saint. We don't have to ordain you a saint. The Bible calls you a saint. Doesn't mean you're a saint like you're going to have a little statue made after you. That's not what I'm talking about. It's a saint called according to what the Bible says a saint is. And the Bible says that we are the bride of Christ, and when we go to heaven, and I'm not talking about just the rock, the church worldwide, we will be adorned with fine linen. I don't know if you wear Gucci, I don't know if you wear Armani, or if you wear, is Gucci clothes? So why are you laughing? Because y'all don't have it? Is that why you're laughing? I don't have Gucci clothes. I'm not trying to bag on you, but you laugh like it wasn't close. Is Gucci clothes? Yeah. Is Armani clothes? Yeah. What else is a nice clothes? Versace? Chanel, Chanel number 5? What'd you say? What'd you say? Chanel? Clothes? Is it girl clothes? Oh, I didn't know. I don't know anything about that. I don't know about that. I thought Chanel was like, you know, they smell good. Oh, it's two different guys. All right, good. Chanel, BB, Bebe? What, how you say it? Yeah, okay, whatever that is. Gucci, Armani, Levi, Sean John, however, wherever you are in the Stratus, Mervin special, whatever it is. My wife shops at Mervin's, okay? Whatever it is, all of that is garbage compared to this. And what God is going to do, he is going to adorn you according to your acts on earth, your faithfulness on earth. How you are adorned at the marriage of the Lamb will be determined by how faithful you are on earth. What was the intent of your heart when you did everything you did on earth? Because if your intent was faithfulness, you will be rewarded accordingly. And if your intent was me, you will not be rewarded and you will be adorned accordingly. It's the intent of your heart. Look what it says in their notes. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Talk about tithing. We say every day when tithe and offerings and y'all clap and you put $2 in there. Tithe literally means a tenth part. 10%. $100, what's 10% of $100? $10. What's 10% of $1,000? $100. What's 10% of a million? Wow. $100,000. What's 10% of $5? 50 cents. Just move the thing. Move the decimal once, okay? Okay. Lewis says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're not being faithful. The intent of your heart. Are you really doing what God tells you to do? Or are you trying to slip and slide? Bob and weave. Fool people. God says, you're robbing me. It's mine. Lewis says, in tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now, there's only one time in the Bible that God says to test him, and it's right here. Look what it says. It says, bring all the tithes into the house that there may be food in my house and test me in this. Look what it says next. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Let me say a few things. One, a tithe means a tenth part. People say, well, should I tithe off my gross or my net? I've been tithing off my gross ever since I got saved. Think about it. Let's say you got $1,000, but you only take home $666. Now, do you want God to bless the $666, or do you want God to bless the $1,000? Right? You tithe off your gross. You say, well, how do I live? God is saying to you, I am going to give you whatever I give you, and you get to keep of my money 90%. That's a good deal. I want you to trust me with 10. I gave it to you in the first place. I want you to trust me with 10. And if you trust me with 10, I'm going to bless not only your finances, I'm going to bless your whole life. I'm going to bless you in ways you can't imagine. I'll give you an example. If a prosperity teacher, which I am not, would tell you, if you give God, he's going to make you rich. No. He will make you spiritually rich. And if you are honoring God with not only your money, if you honor God with your talent, if you honor God with your time, you will be blessed to overflowing spiritually. What does that mean? You will have a relationship that bless you. You will have your time will be blessed. You will have peace that surpasses all understanding. God will give you friends that will watch your back. And if you're giving him not only your money, but your time and your heart, he's going to give you wisdom to make the right decisions in your life, and your life will be blessed. Will you get a big, big house? Not necessarily. You may just really enjoy your studio apartment. For reals. For real. You may just really enjoy that 7-year-old car you have. Where before, I got to have a new car, and then God says, and you start faithfully doing what God wants you to do, all of a sudden, you know what? I'm good in this car. And you know what? I don't really care what people think anymore. Remember when I first said, if godliness with contentment is great gain? It starts with you giving to God what he wants from you. Now, tithing, 10% is a beginning point. Offering is over and above that. But tithing, the whole concept, is not an issue of money as it is an issue of trust. Why? Because God's going to give it back to you anyway. You just don't know that. and you might not even know he gave it back to you because you just got blessed somewhere else and never put the two together. But the issue is that he's always taking care of you, and he always will take care of you. So why are you tripping? But when you get your riches like this, you don't want to let it go? That's the problem. By the way, the Bible talks about money more than anything else. Love, forgiveness, salvation, all of that. Talk about money more than anything. Why? Because to us, it's the most powerfully exchangeable value thing we think we have, and we hold on to it tighter than anything else, so he has to pry it out of our hands. And he says, it's the only time he says, test me, I dare you to trust me. Because he knows if you do, you're going to be sold on it. But he has to convince you to let go. It's his anyway. I mean, he can take it from you, but he doesn't want you. He wants you to give it to him because he wants you to trust him. He's going to give it back to you. What does that mean? Is that you're going to eat and you're going to live. You're never going to go hungry because you tithe, ever. And I don't. This is a crowd very young in age, but I bet you there's people in here who have tithed, and then God gave them a miraculous financial. Can I get an amen? How'd that happen? By the way, let me be more specific. They gave up their tithe faithfully, and God gave them money that they don't know where it came from. Yeah, for real, this happens all the time. Happens all the time. That's how God is. And by the way, us buying this and doing this building, we never had the money. We still don't have the money. For reals. It was all by faith. Because God said, go ahead and do it. And we said, God, you've always provided. And every year, the CFO, we have a CFO, he's an accountant, he's a brilliant accountant guy. And I'm a numbers guy. So every year we have a contest on what our finances will be the next year. And it's just a game between me and him, but he's the analyzer with all the facts, and I'm just the gut guy. I see the numbers, but then I go, and I get a number. God always provides. Always provides. But you have to be faithful. Now, in this church, there are jillions of dollars. We should not have any debt. There is enough money to pay this building off and start other rock churches around San Diego, which we want to do, and have those rocks reach their communities. There's people in his church who have the gift of giving, and they have the money to give, and they just write a check. They're sitting here. We got a $5.5 million check a few years ago, and this is the youngest service. The person who gave it went to this service. He didn't go to the morning services where there's a higher percentage of older people. He went to this service. He said, boom. And I was like, ba-doom. Matter of fact, he gave it to us. We met at a little lunch diner thing with his wife and his daughter, and it was just a regular family size check. It wasn't a big, you know, thing. It was just a regular check. It was kind of fake, you know, 5.500, 0. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And when he gave it to me, to the church, but he handed it to me. I just set it on the table against the salt shaker and just looked at it the whole lunch. I never seen a $5.5 million check. Have you? No. Okay. So I wanted to look at it. I wanted to look at it. I wanted to just touch it, you know, just feel it and, you know, see how it was. It was real. And we put it in the bank. And as soon as we put it in the bank, you could hear the bank. We put it in the bank and all you could hear was, chewed it right up, just ate it right up, just spent it all, just like that. You didn't get that. That was really funny, but you missed it. God says, test me. If all of y'all tithe, then what that means is that you give 10%. You can only do what you got to do. You can't give millions if you don't have millions. You do what you got to do. You do what God tells you to do. If that happened, we have enough to do whatever we want to do. Now, if everybody in here, in this whole church, didn't drink, how much is a Frappuccino, a real expensive one? $4, okay. So, five? Can't agree on anything. Okay, someone, who has ever had a $5 drink from Starbucks? Okay, what was in it? $5 drink from Starbucks, what was in it? Can someone tell me what a white chocolate mocha? Cappuccino, mocha, cucaracha, cream, okay, cinnamon, a lot of chicka, 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 chunga, chicka, chunga, all that stuff, right? Okay. If you got two of those a week that you did not drink and you gave $10, this is how simple it is. This is how much firepower is in this church. $10 a week from every person that does give, we would be able to hire all the people we want, and we would add back in all the budget money we cut out, just like that. That is not even tithing. That's not even tithing. That is a percentage. That's how much firepower is in this room financially. Another thing, I would love to start a thrift store, a rock thrift store. Do you have any idea how easy, well, let me back up. If we had a building, and someone here has a building, or you know about a building, there's a lot of linen and things. Is it linen and things? Is that what they just went out of business, okay? Mervyn's went out of business. We could fill up a Mervyn's, and if you have real estate and you own that, we don't want to pay for it. We want the building for free. Okay. So why would I want to, you know, can I get an amen? Can I get some people to agree, say, Jesus, give us a building for free? Very good. If we get the building for free, there's plenty of people here who can work that building, so we provide jobs. And in one day, we could fill up semi-trucks of clothes and fill that store from this church. How many of y'all, by the way, how many of y'all have, and there's at least 3,000 people here, if not 3,400 people here right now, how many of y'all have five things in your closet right now that you could easily give away? Okay. Oh, how many of you had 10 things in your closet you can give away? Very good. 10. Think about it. Think about it. That's 30,000. Do you hear what I'm telling you? That is 30,000. Do you hear what I am saying? 30,000. And in this church, that would mean, there's probably about 13,000 people here today, 130,000 articles of clothing sitting in your closet right now. There's high heels, pumps, sitting in like this. Some of them are like this, some are like that, whatever. Some are just on top of each other. But they're saying, is anybody gonna wear me? And the girl who bought them in the next room looks at them every day. I can't wear those. I already wore them once and everyone's seen them. I can't. Those are all played out. You just bought them last month. And they're like this. And you won't give them away because you paid $90 for them. Or whatever. That is horribly shameful. And there's people out there who would buy those things left and right. In one day, we could fill up the building. And by the way, in one day, when I say one day, if everyone brought their 10 things, however long it took to bring your 10 things, if everyone brought your 10 things, in that time span, we could fill up our new thrift store, provide jobs, and we can stock all the other thrift stores from the Salvation Army and the Rescue Mission all at the same time. That is what's sitting in your closet, rotting right now. We're not talking about furniture. We're not talking about the TVs you have you don't need. How many of y'all have houses where every room is a TV? You watch one show, it's all in all, and you're like this. You don't want to lose contact with the TV. If we had a thrift store, we could also, we don't have to have a thrift store to have this ministry, but what if we had a thrift store and we had a ministry where when anyone's house burned down in San Diego, we had a fireman, house burns down, we get a call while the house is burning to bring over a prepackaged care package of clothes for that family who just lost everything the day their house burns down. If a woman is running from her abusive husband and she has to leave everything in the middle of the night and take suitcases, just a few changes of clothes, we can say, here's clothes for you and your kids for however long you need them. This is what we have sitting in this room. This is what we have. And God is like, I hope they get it. I'm not talking about the millions and millions and billions and hundreds of billions of dollars. That's a whole other issue. Because some of y'all have the gift of giving. You need to exercise your gift. You'll be very happy and God will bless you. Because he gave you that gift for the purpose of giving. To other people, not to yourself. Okay. Number three in your notes. How you steward your earthly treasure will indicate your investment in the kingdom of God. Your earthly treasure is an investment in the kingdom of God. chapter 21, verse 18. How many of you have ever had an emerald? You owned an emerald. Okay. How many of you ever owned a ruby? Have you ever owned a diamond? Okay, how many of you have never owned any of those things? Raise your hand. Very good. Those are very precious stones, jasper, sardis, amethyst. I'm not going to read this. I'm reading it to you. You can read it on your own, but here's what it says. That when the new Jerusalem comes down in heaven, the foundation of the ground is made of these stones. The foundation of the wall, it's layered with these precious stones that you spend money on. It's the ground. And the street is gold like glass. Matter of fact, let's read that verse. Look at verse 21 of chapter 21. It says, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. How many of you have ever had a pearl? And pearls can be expensive, but you probably got a little pearl. It looks like a little half M&M. We're talking about a gate, a giant pearl, one pearl. You ain't never seen nothing like that. The gates, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. That's a trip. That's heaven. That's heaven. They got stuff giant size. Supersize me. This is a supersized pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. That 24 karat stuff, that ain't like glass. This is, I don't even know how you measure what kind of karat this is, but it's like glass gold. The ground is gold. That stuff you're paying for, they walk on it in heaven. They walk on it. It's like going to Home Depot saying, I want to buy a concrete necklace and an asphalt bracelet. It's the ground. It's ridiculous. Number four in your notes. Determine how you steward your earthly treasure will determine your eternal worship experience. Now, we had some people a couple weeks ago that were coming to the worship. One of the ways people use the information booth is to complain again about me. One of the complaints was that I said that people would have a different experience in heaven, that we all don't have the same experience in heaven. You don't. There's no two people in here right now having the same experience. Okay? But let me prove it to you, because we want to just basically make our decisions based on what the Bible says. I want you to picture this analogy. Okay, young 13-year-old, what's your name, young lady? Huh? Miley? You're a dancer? We going to get your crew up here one day to dance? We want to have y'all up there. And we also, I haven't heard. Y'all know the Jabberwocky dudes? If y'all ever see any of those dudes, because people are saying, I saw them at the Rock. Please bring them to me. I mean, I want to meet them. We got to get y'all if y'all are here. They probably don't got that mask on, so we know what they look like. We want to get those brothers up here, too. Okay. But that's another story. But just to tell them, I want to meet those dudes because they're the bomb. Okay. Miley? Okay. I want you to imagine this person, not Miley yet, this person. And whenever you do anything by faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. Whenever you do anything by faith, you get a reward in heaven accredited to you for when you go to heaven. So if you do something by faith, you get a reward in heaven. If you do something by the flesh, especially something you think you're going to get credit for, like going to church, if you go to church with the wrong attitude, you don't get a reward in heaven. So whatever you do by faith, you get a reward in heaven. And when you get to heaven, you're going to get it. One of those is the fine linen we talked about, but also we're going to talk about something else in a minute. So you get this reward of gold, silver, precious stone. Okay. When you die, you will stand before God at the bema seat of Christ. The white throne judgment is for non-Christian, the bema seat of Christ for Christian. And the Christian is going to stand, and God is going to test your works by fire. So all the things you did by faith, the fire is going to burn them up, and they're going to come through shining. Because they're precious metals. They don't burn. And then whatever you did not by faith, it was wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to go poof. It's going to burn up. So some of y'all are going to come and say, God, look at all the stuff I did. I went to church. I did this. And God's going to say, okay, we're going to see. Let's test it by fire. And he's going to tell one of the angels, Michael, turn the torch on him. And it's going to go, and some of y'all stuff, your whole life, your whole Christian life is going to go poof in smoke. And you're going to be left with this little tiny gold nugget about that big. And that's going to be your reward. Okay? Then little Miley, how old do you want to live, young lady? How old are you, like 100 years old? 90 what? 80s? 90s? Okay, we'll give you 94. She's going to come 94 years old. Hello, Lord. I went to the Rock all my life. And my pastor, he lived till he was 120. I didn't make a lot of money. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I didn't reach the world, but I was faithful to do the five things you told me to do. Say amen. Amen. Just her. And God's going to say, well, Miley, we're going to test it out. And all Miley did, this is, of course, hypothetical, was go down to Balboa Park and pray for the homeless people. That's all she did, because that's all God told her to do. She did that faithfully. She went to the hospital and prayed for people dying of AIDS, and that's all she did. And God's going to say, we're going to test it out. Now, remember, big old, big-time cheese ministry guy, going to church, he poof, and he got this little tiny nugget. You barely see it. God's going to go to Miley, turn the fire on, Michael, and all of a sudden, she's going to have this big chandelier on her head. This big, long dress with all these diamonds on it. You're going to be like, ah, the blinding light. Are you following me? Now, the reason a diamond has bling factor is because the diamond can reflect light off of it. If you ever go to get a diamond, they'll always put it under light because without the light, it doesn't do anything. Are you following me? So the diamond itself has no light. Put it in darkness, you can't see it. Put under the light, bling, it reflects the light. You and I are diamonds. We have no light of our own. We never did. We never will. All we do is reflect the glory of God. That's our job. And we can only do that when we walk by faith. So everything you do by faith reflects the glory of God. You get a reward for it. Everything you do by flesh does not reflect the glory of God. You get no reward for it. You only get reward for that which reflects the glory of God. And you can only get that by walking by faith. So whenever you say, well, I went to church all these years. I went to church all these years. And God says, you didn't do it by faith. You went to church for 10 years at that church, and you never did anything. You never really tithed. You never really served. And you complained all the time. So you get this little nugget because there was a couple things you did by faith, but basically, it was a waste. You hopped from church to church, and all you did was criticize that one church. That's why you went to another one. You would have been better off not going because you poisoned all these people by what you said. So the fire is going to prove what you are. You and I are those diamonds. We can only reflect God's glory. And so what you do by faith reflects his glory when you do it. And when you get to heaven, you're rewarded with something that's going to reflect his glory even more. Part of that is what you do with your money. Part of that is what you do with your opportunities. Part of that is what you do with your time, your talent, your relationships. What you do with all that has to reflect the glory of God. Because if you do it by faith, God will show himself true. Okay, let's look in the notes. This is what the Bible says. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, everyone say gold, silver, precious stone. Those are the acts of faithfulness. They cannot be burned by fire. Contrasted to wood, hay, and straw, which burns up in fire. Each one's work will become clear on the day. The day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire. Everyone say fire. Fire. And the fire, say fire, fire, will test or prove each one's work of what sort it is. You cannot fake the fire. You can't fake the fire. You can talk all that trash. And trust me, I hear it all the time. I have people look me in my face and lie to me in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I have people in full-time ministry look me in my face and lie to me. And it doesn't, I'm not going to say it doesn't bother me. It breaks my heart because of them and God. I'm used to it. But the point is, you can try to fake people. You can. But you can't fake God. You can't fake God. Don't try to fake God because you're only fooling yourself. And by the way, it doesn't matter that you fool people. It doesn't matter because it's really between you and God anyway. God makes everything right. If people stab you in the back, don't worry about it because Jesus got stabbed in the back and he still got to accomplish what God sent him for. So God, men stabbing you in the back cannot stop what God has in your life. Cannot. Okay? So don't waste your time stabbing somebody in the back. Okay? But let's look at the reason. It says, verse 13, let's read again. Each one's work will declare, become clear. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. By the way, if you think, man, I am so faithful and I don't get credit, you are getting credit. God is keeping an account of your faithfulness. And the things you do that nobody sees, those are the things God knows. Trust me, he knows. You give a cup of cold water to somebody when nobody's looking, God is there and he will remember that. If you only do it so people can see you, you don't get any credit for that. Mm-mm. If you're doing it for that reason, by the way. It says, it will become clear, and look what it says, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test each one's work. We're going to do a study on fire. Fire is very fascinating. Of what sort it is, verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built endures, he will receive a reward. So when the fire burns on your reward and it proves that it's gold and silver, you get a reward. If it's with integrity and the fire, and it survives the test of the fire, you will get a reward. And then look what it says in verse 15. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer a loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through the fire. In other words, Lord, look at all this good stuff I did to you. He says, let me test it with the fire. Whoosh. Nope. Sorry. You can still come to heaven, but you ain't getting a reward. Little Miley. Miley, right? Whoosh. She has this big chandelier on her head. It's just millions of diamonds and emeralds and jewels just reflecting the glory of God. And all she was faithful. She wasn't wealthy. You could be wealthy or not. She was faithful. When you go to bed at night, when the plate goes by, when there's opportunity to serve, are you being faithful or are you being selfish? If you're being faithful by faith, and it will require risk in the world's eyes, faith in the spiritual world, you might be over your head because you haven't done it, but God's calling you to do it because he wants you to grow. It will require a sacrifice, but it's not really a sacrifice because it's not yours anyway. Your time is not yours, so you're not sacrificing anything. You're sacrificing because you think it's yours, but it's not yours. Someone said, I heard one say, if someone puts something in your hand and you close your hand, he's giving you too much. Leave your hand open with everything you have. It's not yours. Now, let's look at Revelation chapter 4, and we'll end right here with this. Verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks. Verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, casting their crowns before him. You remember that big chandelier Miley had on her head? You know what she's going to do with it? Put it at his feet. Say thank you. It's all you. You remember that guy with the little nugget? Like a little pen light? He's going to put it at his feet. Lord, don't lose it, because it's right there. Lord, I got it. I got it. I have my angel watch this for you. People who are faithful, and it's going to be lights going everywhere. And by the way, this is just my opinion. My opinion means what? That those lights that are reflecting off your crowns are going to sing. And every color has a different frequency and a different sound. So the lights coming off are going to sing and worship him all at the same time. It's going to be the bomb. And you're going to just go, I praise you, Lord. You are worthy of all my riches and everything I've ever done. You are worthy. So don't think that someone who has been faithful every day is going to, you not being faithful, are going to have the same reward as them. Now, you will be in heaven. You will be in the presence of God. You will be overwhelmed by joy, but it will not be the same, and you won't be jealous. So don't worry about it. But what you want to do, at least this is me, is I want to have the most incredible experience here on earth and the most incredible experience in heaven that I can have based on the potential God has said I have. That's what you want. You don't want to just slide in, because I'm going to tell you, people argue about eternal security. Can you lose your salvation? Can you not lose your salvation? Let me give you the answer. If you walk with God in all your heart, you don't have to worry about it. But if you say, well, I'm going to do everything I can in the world, but I'm going to keep my salvation, I would challenge that you probably are not saved. It's like getting married and saying, honey, I love you. I want to marry you, spend a life, the rest of my life with you, but how many times can I cheat on you and you stay with me? That person is not married. That person shouldn't get married. That person never was married. When you give your life to Jesus, you say, I am all in. So if you just walk with God, you don't have to worry about it. But don't just do that. I had a guy, his kid, tell me one day, he said, so you telling me I could wait till the last minute, I could live my life where I want? He was like 18 years old. I could do all this party and everything for all my whole life, and right before I get saved, right before I die, I could ask Jesus to forgive me, and will he forgive me? I said, if you are sincere, he will forgive you. And then he said, why would God let me cheat him like that? I said, no, brother, you are cheating yourself. Because you just, one, risked that you would not go to heaven, because you could have died before you repented. But even if you do, you just spoiled your whole life and threw it away where you could have been blessed. You got counterfeit happiness. Why? You don't have to. In 2 weeks, we're going to look at and put all this together, the potential of our time, talent, and treasure. The thrift store example was one. There are countless people in San Diego. We can help, and God can use us to radically change their life. What a perfect opportunity when the economy is falling out and there's so much uncertainty in the world that we know the God who holds certainty. And we can offer that certainty to people. That is the reason the church exists. The very reason we are here is to bring hope to the world. So in 2 weeks, we're going to have the State of the Union. Next week, we don't have 5 o'clock, and I don't want them to miss it, so we're going to do it when everybody's here. And we're going to have State of the Union, and we're going to have a ministry fair. And we're going to ask you all to sign up for a ministry. And by the way, we're going to have a ministry a box where we want you to put ideas in for ministries. We want to know. And guess what? If you put an idea, you're probably the perfect person to be part of it. Don't say, here's what y'all need to do. Here's what I think should be done. There's 1,000, I'm guessing, 1,000 people in here with a gift of leadership. You need to lead. When I say in the church all day, there's 1,000 people with the gift of administrations. You need to administrate. There's 1,000 people with the gift of teaching. You need to teach. There's 1,000 people with the gift of exhortation. There's 1,000 people with the gift of giving. If all those people did that, whoo, get out the way. God is saying, man, if they could just harness all that, whoo, I could do all this. And I believe, this is my opinion, but I really believe this, that the church in San Diego can wipe out homelessness in this whole city. There's only 10,000 people homeless. There is only 10,000 people homeless in the city. There's more than that in this church alone. So you're talking about 1,100 churches? There's 7,500 kids in foster care? We can't get help to all those kids? We can go on and on and on and on. There's a police officer here. He's the head of the gang unit in San Diego. And we were talking the other day. He's a Christian. He says, can you help get mentors for these gang members and parolees? They need God. There's nothing else going to help them. I said, We volunteer. Come and we'll talk about it right here on the stage. Chief of police, come. We're going to talk about it. This is the firepower we have. This is what God tells us to do. And so God's like, man, I hope they're getting it. God right now, I'm making this up because it's probably not happening, but God right now is up there talking to Jesus and the angels. Michael, you hearing this? Gabriel, you hearing this? When they finish, make sure you get those people. Talk to those people when they go to their cars. Stir their heart. Holy Spirit, stir their heart because they need to be getting this because we could do something. I'm telling you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we have never seen We have never seen, eye has never seen, ears never heard what you have prepared for us. You say that your eyes run to and fro throughout the earth looking to show yourself strong on behalf of somebody who will be loyal to you. That somebody could be a group of people. Lord, if we could be loyal, if we could be faithful, if we can be humble, if we can give what we're supposed to give, we can release to you what you own. There's no telling what you will do. And we pray that blessing on this church. Holy Spirit, I pray you stir our hearts. You know we're going to be talking about you in about 3 or 4 weeks. So I pray you prepare our hearts to have a meeting with you. I pray you prepare us for the 12-hour prayer meeting.